In somewhere different
tonight, Drew? Yep, that sounds good. It's right in front of you.
Oh, yeah. No, I see it's plugged in there. Is it usually plugged in
there?
Yeah. The show's ruined.
Yeah.
I cannot perform
tonight.
I'm screwed up. I'm spinning. You might as well just give me acid and put me on a potter's wheel. I cannot focus on the show tonight. Dr. Drew, everyone, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. We're very happy to welcome back to the show Bad Religion.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Great. Brett and Jay are all in here. Bad Religion is a band that I've been here on K-Rock for many a year. Bad Religion is coming on 20 years now?
21.
Wow.
We just passed 20.
Really? Awesome. Oh, you're going that direction. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I thought you started at like 40 and we're heading down.
We're
in which case, I would be right. Okay, but you ALs have started at zero and are heading toward like 30 or something, right?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Bad Religion is one of the smarter bands in rock and roll. And they've been in here a couple of times, although we have not seen the fellas in it's been a couple of years now, so welcome back.
We missed you dearly.
Think about you daily.
Yes, Dr. Drew and Nappy Head, what the hell's that Brillo guy name? The Process of Belief is the name of the new CD. It will be out January 22nd. Bad Religion is going to be playing at the Acoustic Christmas on Saturday, and I will definitely be looking forward to seeing them. We will hear something off the new CD and give out some tour dates, I'm guessing, and all that good stuff.
Yep.
When was the last tour? How long has it been?
We have not been on a stage since March of this year. That was in South America. And we haven't been on stage in North America for 1 year. Our last show here was November 7th of 2000.
How's South America? How do they treat Bad Religion?
Well, they love it. Basically, the Latin countries love Bad Religion because I think of the dominance of the Catholic Church in those countries.
Right. So it's just really,
they seem to
really
like,
making a statement.
I think so.
We were one of the first punk bands to play in South America as well. I think the Ramones were quite popular when we showed up there, and then we were one of the, I think we were the second band after the Ramones. Huh.
And, oh, my God. Jesus. Is it? Does it feel like 21 years?
No, because every year we seem to, every time we put out a new record, it seems like the first time again.
Right, and Drew, Drew, every time you renew your contract here, it's the same, right?
First time.
Drew, how long have you been on this show?
18 years.
Jesus Christ.
I knew you looked familiar.
See, the thing about a band that's been together for 21 years, that's cool, but a guy who's been doing the same late-night radio gig for 18 years?
It's uncool.
Yeah, that's very bad.
It's tenacity. No, it's just like, you guys seem like teenagers.
Yeah.
Your voices are, like, old.
Wait till you see our scrotums.
Wait a minute, let me. I got something for you tonight.
That's disgusting.
It's about what I want to do with my life.
Oh.
What is it that you want to do?
Who loves this?
We want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do.
Away, baby, let's go.
We're going to have a good time.
We're going to have a party.
That was like a drop from the beginning of the mother station out here, K-Rock.
Yeah.
I don't know, we don't want to get too nostalgic tonight, but I used to listen to Loveline for the years when I grew up in L.A., and I listened to Bad Religion, and so it's kind of weird being the old new guy here.
Yeah.
All right, let's...
the old new guy. He's the new guy.
The old guy amongst the old guys.
The medium old amongst the super old elite. Kimberly?
Yeah?
You're 16, what's up?
I've had three different sexual partners, and I haven't been able to orgasm. Like, I think I might have been close, but I'm not sure.
You're 16.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, that would be normal for a 16-year-old, okay? It's rather unusual to find someone that can have an orgasm during intercourse at 16. What I'm concerned with is why three different guys already?
Well, 16, that's not too bad.
That's not too bad.
No, that's like one every 5.3 years.
How 16 are you? When's your birthday?
You know what I mean? That's not bad.
I'll be 17 in February.
Everything going okay?
You stinking whore.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't say that.
Can you orgasm when you're alone?
No.
Did the guys do the oral sex thing?
Yeah. And that, like, isn't, like, it's not any better than sex.
Are you feeling really tense when you're intimate with someone? Not relaxed?
No, not at all. Like, at first, the first time I have, but now I'm really comfortable.
Have you been with one of these guys for a while?
I've been with all of them for a really long time. The guy that I'm with right now, who's gotten me closer than anything, has been my best friend for, like, 3 years, and we've been together for, like, almost 7 months.
Do you really care about him?
Yeah.
So, do you tell him that he's gotten you closer? Like, the other guys, they just, they were like 25 percenters,
but
he's
like... He denies it.
He's what?
He denies it.
He denies that he gets you, like, close?
Yeah, he's like, you're just saying that to make me feel better, but...
You know, sometimes the problem can be if you put too much emphasis on orgasm, then you actually...
It's not that important to me. It's just I want to know if there's, like, something wrong, because I have a friend... who has, like, a million times, you know, and I just feel like...
You just need to find your spot. You haven't found your spot yet.
Yeah.
And I think, moreover, you need to understand that there are some people that just do it a million times, have no problem with it. Women have a greater spectrum of responses.
Yeah.
Most are not finding their spot until they're 18, 20, 22.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at least.
Yeah, I mean, Drew, you can back me up on this. A woman's sexual prime is much later than a teenage male, right?
And women, like I said, it's all over the map. Guys are real consistent. I mean, how much does the average 16-year-old guy vary sexually, and how much does the average 16-year-old girl vary sexually? I mean, it's quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I believe that some women just... you know, just essentially bogart the orgasms that they hoard. You know, Connie over here is having 75, and I got nothing. Yeah. Give me one of those. Yeah. They're like some sort of land barons or something, or slumlords or something. They hog all of the orgasms, and poor Kimberly. And the more Kimberly focuses on it, the farther away she's going to get from it.
She can't orgasm by herself. It's not going to happen with a person. It's really not.
But just relax.
It can if you find...
This is my advice, though. Whatever you do, do not buy a vibrator. Because you're having trouble.
Right.
And you resort to the vibrator, then what will end up happening is you get hooked on that thing, and then you'll never be able to do it without one.
It's taking the easy way out. It's like getting on the steroids or something. So it's just working out. You'll pay down the road. James?
Yes.
You're 42?
22.
42?
42?
22.
22.
22. Okay. Screen says 42. Oh, well, now I know why the screen says 42, by the way. It's by, by the way James pronounces his own age.
42. Try for you.
All right.
If you're 42, James, why are you calling Loveland?
No, 22.
22. On with Bad Religion. What's up?
Been married for 2 years, been with my wife for four, got a daughter. I insist every single night, I dream, well, practically, I mean, there's a couple of breaks in between, but pretty much every single night, I dream sexually about other women other than my wife.
And
I don't know why.
Are you sexually active with your wife?
You know, once a month, obviously not what I would prefer, but...
Once a month? What's going on?
She never wants to, I mean, she barely ever wants to have it.
Did you just have your child?
No. Well, she's three. So.
Three. Is she on medication, your wife?
Well, yeah. She's on antidepressants, three of them.
All right. Well, that will shut her down pretty good.
She's on three of them?
Yeah.
You got to talk to her doctor about this. That is not really an acceptable state to be in. It can really affect your relationship.
You know, the once a month?
Yeah, that's not...
Oh, God, I'm blessed with once a month nowadays. It used to be once every three.
All right. Well, you talk to the doctor. I agree with Rue. Tell him you're going to need some Rofies.
Yeah.
And,
The medication really can shut women down terribly. They'll describe sort of feeling sexless, like there's no sexual around. Sex doesn't make sense to them, sort of an uncomfortable nuisance. And that's the biology they get. That's more so than what women feel around here.
I know. It's more just out of fear.
It's like tying a shoe. Sure. Is she on the antidepressants because of a postpartum depression?
Just depression, period. She's pretty much been depressed all her life, and I didn't know that when I first got with her because she was, like, smoking so much pot, she was always happy. So.
Right.
And then when she quit smoking pot and had the kids...
This is why you don't get pregnant at 17 and, you know, get married at 20, though, right?
Well, she's 25.
Oh. Wow.
She was 21 when I got with her.
I see. And you were 17, 18?
I was 17.
Wow. That sounds like good times.
Yeah.
But, she been through a lot in her life?
Yeah, a whole lot.
She's been through a whole lot?
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to be some work here, James. You know what I'm saying?
But you signed on for active duty. You got a kid, you got a wife now.
Yeah.
This project is yours.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know how to convey it to the guys when they hook up with these... I don't want to say that women who've been through a lot don't need to be loved and don't need relationships, but having the kids and getting married before the work has been done is a trap that a lot of guys fall into. And at 17, 18, 19, I mean, you're so ill-prepared to deal with this. You got somebody who's, you know, alcoholic dad, gave him a little abuse. They're kind of spinning around. They got depression problems and maybe some chemical imbalance. You pop out a couple of kids and get hooked up with them and then realize 3 years into the gig, that, hey, this person it needs some serious work. Yeah, Drew?
Yeah.
We get paid the same?
Huh?
Okay, thanks, buddy.
What, I have a seizure or something?
You think your good looks is pulling us through radio? You just sit there like a ham?
Again, you were off on a jag, and here's what I heard.
So let me tell you about high school football, Drew. All Central Valley. First team, offense and defense. Let me tell you, there was no parade for the Gorilla Boy when he came off that sideline. But I played everything.
Did your parents show up for any games?
Not one game did they show up to. And I'll tell you what, I still hate my dad for, but at least that son of a bitch Alexis. You know why? Because he's so pathetic. He's so pathetic, Drew. If only someone had paid attention. Are you listening?
Huh?
There's a little reenactment of us on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
Drew trying to study for his re-ups on his medical boards, me with a couple of highballs in me going off on a tangent.
The part that you don't get, that you can't really recreate here, is that tirade going, I'm checked out, all of a sudden there's silence. It's just, all of a sudden it stops. I've become aware that the tone has changed. And I look over and he'll have like the lovey shades on, you know, the glide gloss, the shades over his eyes, feet up, out, tongue hanging out, gone.
That's when the Ambien kicks in and mixes with the Bloody Marys. And but don't worry, I'm just recharging the batteries. I'll be back. Amber?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes.
On with Bad Religion?
Oh, yeah. I want to know what's up with no one giving my Bad Religion props.
Thanks, Colin, for their own problems.
Thank you so much. It's good to know somebody is actually thinking out there.
They're very selfish, our callers.
They're all putting their hands in their air like they just don't care.
We can't give back if people don't give to us.
I love you guys so hard.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have a question for Brett.
Okay,
Brett. So how were you able to stay productive, like, in your drug days and stuff like that? And, like, you know how some people, like shut off to the world, and some people can, like, just be, like, enlightened and stuff? Like, how
I was never productive during my drug days. My productive years always were in between when I was clean. And I'm just not one of those people who are productive or creative when they take drugs.
In fact, we would go a long time without even seeing Brett when he would basically go away for a number of years without really even keeping in contact.
I'm not sure I've actually met that person that's actually genuinely more productive or more creative when they're on drugs.
Yeah, it may be a myth, but, you know, I mean, we've all heard about the Jimi Hendrix and the Miles Davis who are quite creative on, you know, with their drugs. But I'll tell you, during my period of using narcotics, I was very, very unproductive.
Am I going high?
Sure, please. What's that?
Even like with acid and stuff?
Even before I crossed the line into addiction, whatever that means. But I think that, you know, there is a point when that happens, and it never really, you know, opened a door to creativity for me. I'm not saying that doesn't happen for some people, but not for me. My experience is that my periods when I've been clean and focused, I've been much more creative and productive.
Hey, Amber, you ask like you're asking for a reason.
Because, you know, I dabble.
That's what I figured.
I just wanted to know if, like, me being smart, you know, on the drugs would last, or would
you get to be smart. Not quite smart.
There's tons of studies that show that people feel like they're smarter, believe they're more creative, and yet when they ask people then to reassess what they've created off the drugs, they think it's crap, basically.
Yeah, it's I've been the same way.
I think
you write stuff down, it's ridiculous.
Like that loss of inhibition, like, lets you, like, flow with your ideas.
Yeah, but you're on drugs.
Yeah, but this is like saying you're a better fighter when you're drunk. You're not more coordinated. You're not stronger. Your reflexes aren't
inhibited.
Better.
You're less inhibited.
A guy can hit you with a table leg, and it's not going to do as much damage because you're loaded and you're numb, but it doesn't make you into a more skilled fighter. It just makes you more apt to fight and more accepting of it.
Yeah, you know, I think drugs can often be a social lubricant, you know, but it's not, you know, creating is something that's takes focus. It's a different thing.
Don't encourage Adam with the social lubricant talk.
Yeah. That social lubricant is something I probably would have invented when I was high on mushrooms.
Sorry about that.
When I get high on mushrooms, I would stare at the TV and I would see a Lee Press-On Nail commercial, and I'd go, these chicks take long pieces of red plastic, man, like where their claws are, and they stick them on to make them longer and to attract the males of their species.
Whoa.
The whole theory.
And then the next commercial would be a monster truck commercial, and they'd show the crowd going nuts. And be like, bigger trucks smashing smaller cars, and the
species
grows wild, man. Where are we living?
And the hours rolled by, and the days went by, and you went, oh, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Hallucinogenics do tend to make things seem profound.
Yeah. They do, yeah. You start calling, you stop calling your buddies Ray, and you start calling them evil presence.
Angel of death?
You are an evil presence, dude. I cannot handle this. The worst is when you have some obnoxious, but when you start mixing drugs, like you're getting really groovy on the mushrooms, and some friend shows up all coked up, and he's like spazzing out, and you're like, whoa. Well, you know, there's a sharp contrast between the highs. That will not do. That will bum the high out.
Evil pot-smoking hand jobber.
Who is that?
Who is that guy?
Oh, Jimmy's chicken shack. It's
blowing my throat.
Marie?
Hello?
Marie?
Yes?
You're 25?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I work in a restaurant. I'm a bartender.
All right.
My problem is that I work with a bartender on a weekly basis whose roommate raped me 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's stealing, and I want to say something. So
why don't you?
I'm afraid of what his roommate has told him, of what's going to happen. His roommate also works for the company.
The bartender stealing.
Yes.
Who's not the guy who raped you.
No, different. His roommate.
But his roommate.
Did you get the guy who raped you?
Did I get him?
Did you press charges?
No, I didn't.
How come?
And,
How come?
I guess I was afraid. I mean, I'm still in, but...
Oh, okay. And... The guy who's the bartender who's stealing, what kind of relationship do you have with him?
I mean, we're semi-friends. I mean...
So why, if you're, just to play devil's advocate, the bartender is sort of some guy who works there. You just happen to observe him stealing.
Yeah.
You don't have any great affection for where you work.
Right.
You're afraid of his roommate.
Right.
Why are you contemplating reporting him?
Because I don't want to get in trouble. I work with him on the same shift.
Oh, so the register would come up short?
Yeah, or something. I mean, he's not, basically.
Has it?
Not in the past, but it's not necessarily stealing money. I mean, it's stealing, other things as well.
So no one would know.
What? What's he stealing?
Well, liquor.
Coasters,
liquor.
Swizzle sticks, things like that.
How would he be able to follow
you? Can I get some sugar?
I'm talking about liquor and beer.
How would anyone know that you know?
Because I'm working with him behind the bar, which is very small.
Okay. And aren't bartenders supposed to steal, by the way?
I thought that's a rule that you sign on. Like, you get some amount of free stuff.
But the place I work at is, backwards, and it's very corporate.
I want to know why you're friendly with a guy whose roommates with the guy who raped you.
I don't know. I can't understand.
That seems like a red flag for me.
That combined with the fact that she didn't go after this guy.
Well, I was friendly with him before.
But it suggests that victim is a role you're familiar with, and people close to you have victimized you.
Yeah.
So what happened?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
What happened before, though, with your family?
With my family?
Yeah. I mean, were you ever victimized?
Not per se. Like, I was never, molested or raped or anything.
No one ever hit you?
I didn't have a great family. My brother was a drug addict. And
did he ever drink?
My mom tried to kill herself. But other than that, I mean, not me personally. I haven't been victimized.
All right. No one ever raised a hand to you growing up?
No.
And does this bartender guy who's stealing know that his roommate did this to you?
I mean, I haven't told him. I don't... What I'm worried about is what his roommate told him. He probably told... I don't know. The way he is, I think he probably told, the bartender that I work with that,
yeah.
I'm a whore and I slept with him,
All right. Well, I sort of agree with, I think it's Greg who said sort of, I don't know, what's it? I mean, I would either, if you're not going to press charges against this guy, I would just kind of turn my head the other way. I mean, why dig this whole thing up?
I'm really concerned, though, about her judgment with whom she is close with. Why she is so easily victimized and plays that role so well.
Well, what happened with the rape? Was this a date rape?
No. Well, I was hanging out. I mean, I work in a restaurant. I was a bartender. We all went out after work. We drank a lot. And I ended up back at my friend's apartment. I didn't even really know his roommate that well. And, everyone went to sleep, and I sort of passed out. And when I woke up, he was raping me.
And what'd you do?
I told him to stop.
Right.
I told him I didn't want him to, and he... basically held me down and raped me.
And could you scream?
I mean...
Were you just too loaded?
I was really
drunk. There were other people there, right?
It was only him and his roommate at that point in time. Everyone else had gone home.
All right. I don't know. I want to tell everyone, just bring everyone to justice, but on the other hand, I know it's kind of unrealistic. Is there any part of you that wants to file this with the police?
Yeah, I mean, now it's been so long. I'm really just... I don't think... I'm afraid of what everyone else would say, because I don't think... I mean, I think it's really going to be perceived as the fact that, I was really drunk and, oh, big deal,
Well, you're not going to get this guy this far out. There's no way. But you might be able to establish a pattern. And so if someone else does step up...
Right.
Especially if there's already something on this guy's record of these kind of complaints.
That's the point. And it also breaks this pattern that you seem to have of being a victim.
Right.
And again, I really...
I've actually done a pretty good job of changing that by now.
Yeah, but you sound, maybe with the victimization stuff, but you sound angry. And And, like, I don't think you're that concerned about this guy stealing, but it sounds like you sound angry.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if I'm only concerned about him stealing.
No, I don't think
his roommate raped me,
I think you're pissed off.
That's right.
I think, obviously, you are, because this guy's walking with, $46 every night, and who gives a rat's ass? You're getting people loaded, and they're driving off the road for a living, so what do you care? There's not that much. I mean, look, I wish I was a bartender back when, but there's not much nobility in it. Everyone steals, and that's the name of the game. So focus, take some of that anger that you have toward this guy who's stealing and focus it toward the guy who really did the damage. And I say it would be a cathartic experience to go in and just report this. Just go in and talk to somebody. Ask them, look, this happened a year ago. Here's what happened. What do you think? Can I file a complaint?
It's
what should I do?
Got to be some earlier trauma.
Got to be.
All right. Yeah. Well, by the way, and I know this is, it sounds like we're piling on sometimes because stuff happens to people. And now, instead of focusing on the a-hole who did it, we start focusing on them and why it happened, But we know there's something going on because when people that grow up in a good environment and are sort of healthy and strong emotionally, when someone jumps on them, they just start screaming bloody murder.
They rip their nuts off.
And they don't, you're drunk and you're passed out or whatever, but you don't freeze up. And that's the victims freeze up, and that's what makes them victims, and that's what happened to them years ago.
And they don't do anything afterwards.
And they don't do anything afterward.
Yeah.
Right.
Now she's mad at his roommate because he's taking 46 cents worth of liquor every night.
Right. She should report this. I'm sorry for what happened, but focus on the real crime here, not the felony, not the misdemeanor. Okay, that's good, right?
Beautiful.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
I was going to say that.
Thanks. I often have to coax that out of people in the room. Bad Religion here. We're going to hear something off the new CD, right?
Thank you for the peanut gallery up there. It's great you guys got a live audience now.
When we come back.
Thank you again.
Love Line will be right back. KFMA.
Musicians, for the first time ever, you can get a Strat and amplifier from Fender for $199. That's right. Get a Strat and amp from Fender, plus a gig bag, tuner, Strat, video, and more in the Squire by Fender Strat Pack. Everything a guitarist needs in one box at the lowest price ever, $199. This weekend, Guitar Center's December deal days just got better. After months of working with every top-name manufacturer, Guitar Center has truckloads of last-minute, first-time-ever deals arriving in every department. You'll save 65, 70, 75%, and more right now. Save 70% on Epiphone and Ibanez Electrics. Now, $149. Complete full-size drum kits for $199. Get an instant rebate on the Nomad MP3 jukebox and save. Now at the breakthrough price of $199. And get this. Buy a Shure SM57 or 58 today and get $90 worth of accessories free. ADAT takes $5. Drummers save 78% on Pearl Boom Stands for $19. This weekend, Guitar Center store-wide December deal days just got better. Don't miss it.
Hi.
What can I get you?
Tuaca.
What's the password?
Password?
You asked for Tuaca. Do you know what you're getting into?
Yes, I want to tell Tuaca sooner.
Did you ever have Tuaca and cranberry?
Sounds interesting.
Tuaca's really good, straight or mixed.
So you can make a Tuaca margarita.
Sure. What's the password?
Do you want me to beg?
What gives you that idea?
Usually I'm the one who plays hard to get.
Well, Tuaca's not hard to get, but it is special. And only my special customers get Tuaca.
The ones who know the password. Well, give me a hint.
What do you know about Tuaca?
It's delicious and very smooth. Tastes like vanilla with a hint of orange. And it's a little sweet, just like me.
You could be a special customer.
So what's the password? You could go a long way with a password like that.
Tuaca Liqueur. One too many is too much. Please drink Tuaca responsibly. 35% alcohol by volume. Imported by Brown-Forman Beverages Worldwide, Louisville, Kentucky.
Hello, Rita Marshall here. If you love fine timepieces like I do, then I invite you to come experience our little piece of heaven, the Swiss Watch Center at Marshall's Jewelers.
The world's greatest names in fine timepieces. Official agents for Barbara Mercier, Elise Lacroix, our own Marshall watches, and of course, the living legend, Rolex.
And we stand behind every fine Swiss timepiece with advice, accessories, and authorized factory service. And that's so important.
Come into Marshall's. Browse, talk to our Swiss watch professionals, and you're sure to find the Swiss watch of your dreams or the perfect Christmas gift for the one you love.
Bama Mercier, Maurice Lacroix, our own Marshall watch, and of course, Rolex. We've got the largest selection of fine Swiss timepieces in Tucson. Your only problem, picking which one. From all of us at Marshall's Jewelers, happy holidays.
Marshall's Jewelers, Casas Sedobis at Oracle and Ina, and Crossroads Festival at Grand and Swan.
How fast can you get down to your home of the $1 install? All this week, our managers have been given the holiday green light to blow out over $7 million of 2001 model car stereo amps and alarms just in time for Christmas. Grab name brands you can trust, like Alpine, Boston Acoustics, Kirkland Exelon, Rockcraft, we usually have this sale after the holiday, but you deserve our best prices of the year now before Christmas. Orders from $49. Stereos from $79. CD players, alarms, and radar detectors from $99. Plus, our famous $1 installation and customized gift certificates can make your decision easy, fun, and affordable. And remember, no authorized dealer in town will beat our install prices. Come see why no one installs more name brand car stereos and some alarms for $1 than $49. At 4501 East Broadway, two blocks west of Swan, 5400 Forest, or Northeast Warner, Oracle, and River Road. Audio Express.
Here are ads in this week's Tucson Weekly.
Audio Express.
Your home. $1 installation.
Now, back to Loveline on KFMA.
Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Over there, Bad Religion is our guest tonight.
It's great to be back.
It's great to have you guys
back. Did I already mention that? I said that.
The Process of Belief is the name of the new CD. It is out January 22nd. So not just yet, but be waiting. Brett and Greg and Jay are all here from the band. We're going to hear something off the new CD in just a moment. I think what we'll do is we'll take a call then. Play a song.
Yeah.
311 is in here tomorrow night, and then Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Kiedis is going to be in here next week. So that ought to be interesting. And let's get to the phones and speak to Mike, who's 25. Mike?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
Let me first say, hey, Adam, Drew, you guys are great. I've followed you through four states now.
Huh?
I've called numerous times.
Oh, really? Wow, thanks. What were those four states, out of curiosity?
Minnesota, New Mexico, Texas, and now Colorado.
Wow.
Texas and Colorado, I get you guys on a 23-hour delay, but I used to when I had a radio.
You had a radio?
Well, I had a radio, and unfortunately it got taken away.
Taken away?
Who would take a guy's radio?
That is brutal.
Who would do that to a guy?
In this day and age, come on.
That was one of my exes.
Oh, that'll do it. No, I understand.
You know, they sell more of them.
Well,
they're available for purchase.
There's a place, it's got the name Radio Shack. Radio
right in the name.
Right in the name. You can't miss it. It's a Tandy corporation.
That'd be nice if I had money to go buy a radio.
Right, no.
You have lots of trouble with relationships. One of your exes rips you off, and you're still calling about another one tonight, and you've called Loveline multiple times.
Well,
it's a bad sign.
I listen to you guys all the time, and you always give good.
All right, what's going on?
Well, lay down the base story. I was dating a girl for 3 years. We moved from Texas to Colorado to go to truck driving school together. We met this other girl up here. My girlfriend was a bi-curious, and we got into the relationship with the other girl. So we had, you know, a live-in threesome going.
Yeah, but those always work out.
This is
I was wanting to be the one
with me in truck driving school.
what did you say, Mike?
Yours didn't work, though, right?
Well, no.
No, but they always do.
Well, but listen, Ray, Ray, I'm just yelling at my buddy Ray, that's why. Oh, Drew, you condemn not only truckers, but people who live. You don't like truckers. You don't like.
I condemn people that
you want your goods shipped cross country, but you don't want to know how it got there. That's what I'm saying about you. But here's the deal. It's not. Do you think it's the people who are living in these threesome relationships, or is it the threesome relationship?
It's both.
I would contend that if me and you and any member of Bad Religion decided to really get together and have a good threesome relationship, we could pull it off.
Yeah, but for only one night.
No way.
That's what I'm saying.
And then it's over. You can't continue it. It's not an ongoing thing.
But
you want to hear my slant on this? You see, the problem is that most people who invite a partner into bed with them do it to fix their relationship, and they do it when their relationship is on the rocks, thinking, oh, this will add some spice. That's exactly the wrong time to do
it. And they're chaotic people in the first place.
It's only those with the strongest possible relationship that can withstand something
right.
like that.
That's why we need to do this.
Not you know, a couple going to trucking school.
Mike?
Without a radio.
Well, we thought that we were good.
That's all other problem. Each one thinks we're the ones.
And
the fact that they want the threesome sort of suggests they're not. It's circular.
Right. Well, we were all in love with each other.
Very much in love. Oh, yes.
I never heard of that one before.
All right. I have. They always work out.
All right. So, well, listen, Drew. Calm down over there. So you have your threesome.
I wanted to find my righteous indignation again. Will you give me a break?
I know, but now you got to lose it because it's bothering me.
Can we hear some of the lascivious details?
Yeah. What happened?
I mean, if we have to.
I'll send you the videotapes.
No, we don't need to see it. Just tell us.
Well, I'll
close your eyes and picture a couple gals in trucking school. And
I'm thinking cut off shorts.
With a guy with no radio.
Merle Haggard tank top.
I'm picturing like a fishing hat fashioned out of bud cans.
I'm thinking mechanical bull.
And when she gets angry, she starts reaching for her tobacco to throw it at you.
You guys, not all truckers are like
that.
No,
that's true. That's true.
Knock it off.
No. The one girl was one of the. She worked for the truck driving school, and we met her there.
See, okay, was she a lot lizard?
No, she's actually very beautiful.
She was a teacher.
She
set up the pilot.
I started to feel that I was losing both of them to each other.
Right. Right.
And I got frustrated, and I have one of those anger problems, and I hit a wall, broke my finger.
Right.
And then
always work out.
Because I've always taught never to hit a woman.
Right.
So smart. I didn't hit my fiance at the time. I turned around, hit the wall.
Right.
Yeah. Not a good idea.
Right. Broke your finger, and that was the one you used to activate the turn indicator. So you were thrown out of truck school
and got oil spotted by the two girls because it was all over, and they left you behind.
Radio gone, hand in a cast. On the doll.
Out to the one sister's place, and a week later, after I broke my hand, my fiance, who I just asked to marry me,
All right, Mike. Let me jump in here for a second. Do you have any kids?
No.
Good. Okay. Here's what I want to say about you.
There was a kid involved, though.
Okay, but not of your loins.
No.
Okay, fine.
So.
I think we can all agree on this, Mom. Mike, you're 25 years old. You have no kids. You're not married to any of these crazy hillbillies. You have it sounds like an intelligent guy who sort of there's something sort of articulate or interesting about Mike for a guy. Look, put it this way.
Well, he's called you four times.
Yeah. Right.
He's very interested in helping himself.
Yeah. Well, but what I'm saying is if you read Mike's resume, you would expect a different sounding guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like one of the guys who played the banjo from Deliverance.
Mike is
like
interested
that.
In self-improvement.
Right. Mike truly is. And Mike, you got a good mind and you're not strung out on drugs.
I don't think.
You're not, right?
Not really.
Not really?
I use pot every now and then.
Okay, but you're not strung out on a substance per se. You don't have a bunch of illegitimate kids. You don't have a bunch of exes. You don't owe anyone money. You're not wanted by the police, right?
No.
Okay. It's time for you to sort of focus a little bit here. Stop getting caught up with these chaotic women. Stop living in the past. Do something about the anger. Find your niche in life. Think about what you want to do. Your mind works fine. Why don't you go to school, study for something, get a career, and move ahead in life?
You sound like my fiancé.
You got one now? Or is this the old one?
The ex-fiancé.
All right. Listen, screw her. She's in the past. Stop. You got a lot of anger in you. Yeah.
my question was, you know, I'm stuck here 1,000 miles away from my family, and I'm not a suicidal person, but, you know, occasionally that handful of Tylenol PM kind of looks good.
Adam,
I don't
will you know. Not tell people they sound good ever again, please?
Oh, sorry.
You really are pissing me off.
Sorry. All right. No, it sounds like his mind works okay. It doesn't sound like
until
an idiot.
That last statement, I agreed right. with you. But
well, this was, I mean, 3-year relationship, everything I've known, everything I've lived for.
Right. Whoa.
Yeah, he's depressed.
Yeah, of course.
These two were nut jobs, Mike. You're not that stupid. I don't think you're that stupid. I just think you're depressed, and you gotta do something about that.
Well, that's because I have a decent job and here in Colorado, but my thought, and I have this problem that I run away from my problems. My thought is that maybe I should, you know, just kind of vanish off the face of the earth for
right.
a while.
That is a thought that comes from profound biological disturbance of your brain. We call that depression. And the quality of that thought is a sort of expression of how bad that situation is, how much you're affected by your depression, by your biology. So let's go get that taken care of.
Where? Give him somewhere to call or something.
Give him the
maybe you should get off the pot.
Give him the resource book.
This means I got to move?
Yeah.
Can he? Why don't you talk to him during the break?
Right.
We'll play a Bad Religion song.
Right.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. I know, but let me just throw it to the song, and then I'll get the thing. Oh, you want to go to break, Anderson? Yeah, we can't squeeze a Bad Religion song? Let's just play like the first 10 seconds of the song, and we'll fade out and go to break.
That works.
Yeah, that's good. All right, let's...
Thank you very much. That was good.
Can we hear? All right, we're past break.
Make sure you don't lose the guy on the phone. I'm a little more worried about him than the Bad Religion song.
Good angle. That's going to move some pride. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be back with the concerned Bad Religion after this.
Back in a minute. KFMA brings you a free show with Lick Sunday, December 9th. Lick. KFMA, so keep listening as much as you can for as long as you can. From Tobacco Free Ways and Tucson's New Rock. KFMA. We'll
Love Line on KFMA.
Hey, everybody. Love Line. Bad Religion in here tonight. 11 in here tomorrow night. Greg and Brett and Jay are all here from the band. We're going to hear something off the new CD. I think we should just hear it now, right?
Yeah, that or you're keep rambling and we'll miss this hour.
It's a possibility. The Process of Belief is the name of the new CD, out the 22nd of January. And this one is called Sorrow.
Thank you, guys.
That was a great song.
You guys are too
really cool. Enjoyed that.
We're steeped in old-timey.
Yeah, that was real nice. Nice guitar work there, Brett. Was you playing?
That was me. Yeah.
Fantastic. See, you know what I like about that song? Never heard it before. Enjoyed the hell out of it first time around.
Thank you,
hard
sir.
To say that about a lot of songs.
You have discriminating taste.
Yeah.
I can see you are a man of taste.
Yeah, that was nice. Bad Religion, everybody. The Process of Belief is the name of the CD, out on the 22nd of January. And I'm going to see them at the Acoustic Christmas on Saturday and be real happy. How many, how many songs do you think you'll do?
In a half an hour?
About 40. 65.
So old and new and everything in between?
Yeah, we'll be playing that one and we'll be playing some of the old favorites.
Great.
Yeah, we just want to, you know, basically let everybody know that the record's coming out and thank K-Rock, too, because
Yeah.
They're playing the damn thing. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Well, they should. Yeah. I'll be real happy to see you guys Saturday night. David?
Hi.
You're 16?
Yes, yes I am.
What's up?
I just wanted to say hi to Bad Religion. You guys are like absolutely my favorite band in the whole world.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, Greg, you're just absolutely brilliant, like comparable to John Lennon or Jimmy.
Ooh, nice. Well, thank you very much. That's how he thinks of himself, interestingly. I was just bragging about that when we were at break.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
Yeah.
And, you know...
He calls himself John Hendricks, actually.
Brett's just awesome, too, and, you know, thanks for getting back together.
Yeah,
I wanted to ask you guys, like, two questions. What do you guys feel about what's going on in Afghanistan right now, what the United States is doing?
Is that number one?
Yeah, and okay. The other one was just, could you explain the song Cease? Like, I just think it's amazing.
All right. Well, luckily, we just got back from a promo tour of Europe where we were asked this question virtually every day for a week. And we've been kind of silent on the issue because it's a pretty serious topic to talk about. And, you know, we are a band. We're not political leaders. But we do sing a lot about social issues. And basically, we are not pro-war. We don't believe in war. We suggest that you avoid war at all costs.
And I'm against it.
Dropping bombs on people is not what we're all about.
To be fair to us, we do kill a lot of our own people with the bombs.
And it's also hard to say. It's really, you know, the thing is so fresh and new, and we get so little information from over there. You know, we hear the same news every day. We pounded Kabul. One thing I think that we can say with certainty from the stance of Bad Religion is that as a result of this war on terrorism, that many of our civil liberties may be in danger. And I think it's important for young people and bands and watchdog organizations to make sure that our civil liberties are protected in this time of crisis.
The thing that happens to me with these in the time of war is I start incorporating some of the language into my everyday conversation. Like I got a stronghold, which is my garage, you know. And you just these things like stronghold, you know, the Taliban stronghold. You just hear about it every day, and you hear about the theater. And you hear about sorties.
And your opposition
bunker
forces.
Busters.
Right. Your roommate becomes your opposition.
Right, forces. Right. And you go, I'm going to do a sortie down to the Circle K. You guys need anything? You just start, like, working in the lingo. That's really my favorite part.
That's true.
David?
Yeah.
So that's an important part of the
right,
what's going on over there. Do you have a second question for the guys?
Yeah. Just for Greg. On the Gray Race, you write a... I just think it's an absolutely fantastic song, and I spent literally hours not doing my homework analyzing that song, and I just want to know what you think, what you're trying to convey with that.
Well, that song, you know, it's an interesting contrast because it seems to be almost nihilistic in saying everything must cease, but somewhere in that seemingly negative statement, it's surrounded by a bunch of hopeful elements that, you know, because basically I believe that even though we live in a closed universe and we live in a place that I don't believe in spirituality in the sense that it's projected to us from some higher deity, I don't think that's meaningless or hopeless. I think, in fact, it gives us the option to look for meaning in the world we have here.
That's what I like about Greg and Bad Religion. If any other band gets asked that question, it's whatever that means to you.
Whatever it means to you, man. I don't know. I was pretty jacked when I wrote it. So I
it still comes down to interpretation, and the best thing about music in general is that the listeners get to interpret it the way they want.
Yeah, and it you know, if you think about it, it wasn't them who broke up with this girl that you're writing about. It wasn't them who got fired from this job or had their dad kick off or something. So why not just take whatever the energy of the song is and sort of translate it into whatever their life is?
Yeah, but at least Greg has some meaning in this song. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why not people writing it also have something that they put into it of their own?
Right. Right, like what I did with, I remember, Frère Jacques all those years ago. I kind of turned it into my own family structure.
Sure.
Pain and, you know, worked that, twisted that around.
Sure, the Fond d'Avignon was yours, too.
I had no idea it was about a French cook. Or what the hell is that? What's that song about?
Alouette, chanter, alouette. Alouette, chanter, alouette.
We'll be right back. Right.
Vive la France.
We'll take ourselves a little break. Bad Religion is our guest tonight, and we'll be back with them after this.
All right, guys, here's the deal. Looking to hook up, call the Dateline. Sick of wasting time with the wrong person, call the Dateline. One call is all you need to make. Call the Dateline. 1-877-889-DATE.
You know what I'm saying out there?
Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back on Loveline. Line will be right back. 92.1 KFMA.
Let me know.
KFMA, Green Valley, Tucson. And 101.3 K267 AM. Hello.
Folks, Loveline, I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew over there. Brett, Greg, and Jay are all here from Bad Religion. Process of Belief is the name of the CD, out on the 22nd of January, and we'll hear another cut off of that CD sometime in this 11 o'clock hour, 311 in here tomorrow night. And is 311 playing the Acoustic Christmas, too?
Yes.
Sort of makes sense. Yes. Good.
They're not playing the same night as us.
Oh, they're playing Sunday night.
They're playing the second night.
Well, they're a good band to see live.
Yeah, but good guys.
Yeah, good guys. So we'll look forward to them Sunday night. All right, let's take some calls and start off with Andrew, who's 15. Andrew?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey, Andrew.
Hi. I have a really strange birth defect. I was born with a third leg. It's not a complete third leg, but it's got, like, the foot and the toes and everything. And it's sort of coming off from the pelvis. And I was wondering if this could be passed on if I were to have a child.
Well, it'll be a different leg.
No, he actually wants to pass this leg.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It can't be passed on.
Wait a second now. How long is this leg?
It's like, it's not the size of a normal leg, though.
Right. How long is it?
It's about the size of my femur.
That's your knee.
So it's pretty good size, though.
It's like 18 inches.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a whole entire leg.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Does it go straight out the side or just down the side?
No,
or?
Like, I have hardly any control over it.
There's no balls hanging under it, is there? Because I know what that is.
It's almost like it's not... It's like I can't control it.
Right.
But does it kick out on its own and curl the toes up on its own?
Sometimes it'll sort of twitch, but that's about it.
Do you feel it?
Yeah. I can't.
You think it's possessed?
I don't have control over it.
You can feel it, but you don't have.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Stop it.
The band is falling apart here. Well, wait a minute. Wouldn't this thing, if this was a legitimate call, wouldn't this thing be removed at birth?
Well, that's what I want to find out why it hasn't been removed.
Drew, why aren't you laughing?
No, because I'm listening. I'm still taking this in.
Doesn't it sound like a bogus call to you?
No, it doesn't.
No?
Yeah.
Have you seen
ever
this?
Call you tripod?
You name the defect, it's happened.
I know, but this guy's 15 years old. It wasn't born in the 1800s. I mean, this thing would be removed early on.
Maybe there's something about the way
even my cheap parents would have popped for the removal of my third leg.
Well, yeah, you have to see it.
Do you have parents?
Right. Why was this removed?
My mother couldn't afford it. She really didn't even have the money for it.
How about now?
Now, she passed away.
Well,
no, you. How about
she can't afford the removal, but she can afford three shoes?
No, I'm living with my aunt right now.
What'd she die of?
What?
What did she die of?
What did she drive?
What did she die of?
Oh, she died of cancer.
Okay.
She was a smoker.
And where's your dad?
My dad is in North Idaho.
And he's not in your life anymore?
No.
How come?
He moved away when I was really young.
How come?
I don't know. I guess he said he didn't like the city. Like, he's more of like, you know, the country type of person.
Yeah, I think I like the beach. I think I'll leave my family behind, too.
Yeah.
You know, he was always, you know, living out in the middle of nowhere.
So your main concern is if you can pass this on to the next generation.
Yeah.
No, I don't know of any specific genetics.
There's no way you should pass this.
Although, strangely, do you smoke a lot of pot?
No, I don't.
Strange. Well, no, him. Hold your dad.
Oh, you're him. Yeah.
Dad. Because I've heard of some interesting weird orthopedic birth defects in sons of heavy pot smoking dad.
They smoke a lot of weed, your dad?
Did you hear that in Reefer Madness?
No, it was reported in a medical journal.
Really? It's interesting.
Listen,
but developmental traits like this normally aren't passed on to the next generation.
No, this is not as a part of a bigger syndrome.
No, this was some.
And Andrew, you can't smoke weed because you can't get high and look at a third leg. You just go out of your mind. I get high and look at a zit and go insane.
So, Andrew,
Wait a minute. Where's this thing coming from?
My pelvis on the left side.
Pelvis, left side.
Why don't you have it removed?
Right now, it's like...
You get thrown off the soccer team?
We don't have the money for it.
Go to the county hospital, LAUSC. You're in Torrance. Go to the LA county hospital. Or go to the...
You shouldn't be able to wear pants.
Yeah, how do you wear clothing?
My aunt is a really good seamstress, and she's able to, like, make special pants for me.
And, okay, wait a minute. We got
to
continue.
You should go to Harbor Medical Center or USC.
Can we just take a vote?
Just get
it. Yeah, we have five guys in here. How many think this is a real call, and how many think this is a fake call?
Well, I think it's a bogus call.
Dr. Drew's the responsible party here.
Drew is on board with it.
Yeah.
But let's at least agree on this. It can no way be as big as his femur. I mean, because from your knee to your hip, even on a regular size 15-year-old kid, that's 16 inches.
Even as an infant...
Do you wear a shoe on it?
The doctor would have immediately noticed it as when he was born, and it would have been removed, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would have. And it wouldn't have been about money.
No.
That kind of stuff is done.
They would have said it has to come off, period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where were you born?
Yeah, maybe he was born in another country. Where were you born?
I was born in Carson.
That explains it.
Yes, Riverside, Carson, and Bakersfield
I really don't know the whole story.
Andrew, does he seem like somebody? Adam, hang on a second, Andrew. Who's processing, trying to one up us and thinking?
No.
He's telling you what's on his mind.
I understand that his story is sort of checking out.
It's just poop.
But
it's just
I can't, Andrew. Are you real? Let me just describe the leg one more time.
How does your hip? How does your hip work?
My hip is kind of like funny. It's kind of like sort of lopsided a little bit.
Is it sort of folded over at one point and then this other leg comes off?
A little bit, towards the left.
Yeah.
A little bit, like it.
But he was saying the leg had movement in it.
Andrew, have you resigned yourself to just accept this and you're not going to get it? I mean, do you want to get it fixed or removed? Because it seems the only thing that's on your mind right now, you're 15 years old and you're worried about reproducing. Isn't there a more immediate concern of getting the thing taken care of?
There might be an opportunity to pass your genes on.
And it's going to be hard getting laid with that
thing. That's what I'm saying. If he wants to pass those genes along.
Right.
I'm mostly staying at home. I'm homeschooled. Everything's done at home.
Because of this deformity?
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. I just feel
Then what are you so sad, Andrew? If this is a real call, it's very sad.
I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
You're supposed to get it removed.
I don't even know my options. How am I going to pay for it?
I will tell you your options.
What about this? I know this sounds radical. How about instead of removing the leg, we add a third arm? Just to kind of add some symmetry.
On the other side.
That is an expensive operation you're talking about. Right.
I just don't believe you.
The third leg is like...
Okay, let me just ask a few questions about this third leg. In inches, how long is it?
Okay, hold on a second. I actually have a ruler. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
When you're homeschooled, you got all your equipment right there in the bedroom.
Compass, ruler.
Yeah, there's lockers right there in the entry hall.
Van slip-on.
Your aunt's teaching you?
11 and a half inches from pelvis area to the foot.
To the toe. And how many toes does it have?
It has normal. No, wait.
All right, he's lying.
You gotta check this.
Come on, man. You're 15. You've had this thing on your body your entire life, and you don't know how many toes are on it.
Wait, something about toes? What'd you say?
How many toes?
Higher, whore. You know it.
How many toes?
It doesn't have all the amount that my normal foot feeds.
How many?
Four.
How many does your normal feet have?
Five.
And how, if you get a pedicure, regular price? and so four toes, in a heel, in an arch, in an ankle?
No, it's really kind of deformed.
Andrew, can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
Do you wear a shoe on it?
No, I don't.
No. And can it be tucked down? I mean, can you move it wherever you need to move it?
No, I have to practically, grab it and push it.
It fights you back? Does it kick you?
No.
But it has movement on its own, independent to you?
A very slight amount. I can make it go out a little bit, but that's about it.
So if you were signaling for a turn or something on a moped?
Yeah, sort of, but not quite.
That's not possible.
Okay.
Wait, like, this is the thing, Andrew. Wait, this is the thing. If you're pulling our leg, then you deserve to be laughed at, you know. But if it's a real call, then right. This is very sad, and I'll feel terrible for laughing.
All right.
So I'm really in a quandary.
We need to take it as a serious call and say that you must present yourself to a university.
Yeah.
And they'll take care of it. They'll probably be very interested in
sure,
it.
Absolutely.
And you can talk to somebody. So he's in Torrance. Where is
Harvard? Harvard General.
Go to Harvard General just to have your aunt or your mom or whoever drive you down there and let them. But I can't believe that Drew, what a doctor, this guy was born in 1986, for Christ's sake. In 1986, is a hospital going to let the guy go home and never follow up with it?
It's Carson. Talking
about. Yeah, that is true. You're right. Yeah. You're right. I forgot about that.
Carson General.
That's right. That's right. They still got. There was like some bleeding.
The large animal clinic is right. The sheriff's facility.
Wine Gardens next door. They want to run away to that garden spot to see.
Wouldn't you, if you moved from out of state and you just moved to Hawaiian Gardens sight unseen, do you think you'd have a legitimate lawsuit against that city?
Yes.
Your Honor, when I read Hawaiian Gardens, I thought I was moving into some sort of tropical utopia, and it's nothing but industrial parks and gunfire.
Yeah.
I would sue. I think you could sue the planners of the city and make some money. All right, Cody?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Adam, Drew, you guys are gods. I love you. I listen to you every night for about 3 years.
Thank you. How many legs?
I have two.
All righty.
Yeah. Adam, my girlfriend gets jealous about how much me and my guitar player talk about you. We talk about you every day.
Thanks. What's the name of the band?
We actually knocked off your name, Sprue. But we're actually coming up with a different name called Mediocre Presidents.
All right. Right.
Didn't we have a...
I like Sprue.
What was the name we had?
Sprue's got a ring to it.
Celiac Sprue would be good.
Thanks.
Hate Plow is a name
Hate
I've been
Plow,
tossing around
right.
for a band. I think would be a good edgy-sounding
that's
thing.
That's cool.
How about Sprue? Sprue
like
Plow.
That. We're going to be more punk like Bad Religion.
How about Aspirin Feast?
Ooh, that's a good name. I hadn't thought of that one.
Particularly good if you're noisy.
Yeah.
All right, so you have a question?
Actually, I hate to say it, but I made up my question to talk to Bad Religion.
Here they are.
All right.
Mr. Brett, you're incredible. Me and my friend Bobby, we talk about you all the time. He thinks you're God.
Well, I assure you I'm not.
I hope you aren't.
He's demigod.
Yeah. Right.
In the Flat Earth Society,
yes.
Chorus, you know how it says, the bright ship Humana is sailing far away?
Yeah.
What were you referring to in that?
I can't remember.
It's whatever.
It was the mankind's progress, kind of moving forward mindlessly and without deliberation.
Okay, I just wanted to know because in one of my songs that I'm writing, I quote that right there, and I just wanted to get my bearings straight on that.
Yeah, you know, it seems like we indulge in technology for technology's sake, and progress isn't really progress, and
so,
that's what it's getting at.
Like when you get interviewed and people want to know what your mindset was when you're ripping off Bad Religion, you can tell them.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just wanted to clear. Basically,
he said it was okay on the radio.
Clear
how it's written.
Yeah, that, and I was also wondering in "I Want to Conquer the World,"
yeah,
where it says, "Is your fecundity a trammel or a treasure?"
Right.
Me and my friends looked up. Fecundity, and isn't it the same as fertility?
Yeah.
Could you have just used fertility, or did you use fecundity for big word sakes?
I used it because I liked
the alliteration.
Yeah. I liked the phonic quality. It had more of a in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We think it's great. You know, we think everything you do is great.
All right. Great.
I just want to say thanks for all the inspiration you've given us.
Thanks for being so supportive.
All right. Thanks.
Go Sprue.
Thanks a lot.
All right. We're going to hear another Bad Religion song. Drew, read the box with the song title in it, and what does that mean? Tell him not to hang up after.
I think he was talking about what we were talking about here.
Oh, the guy with the leg?
The leg, yeah.
Really? All right. Well, we screwed that because we hung up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go back.
Well, let's make a little comeback with some more Bad Religion.
What?
This song is called... The defense. go. Bad Religion.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Brent and Greg headed out to the car to hear the song over the radio. But
they're in the car right now. Get out of the car.
Unacceptable.
How'd it sound, guys?
Pretty good. Really good.
Yeah, pretty good, see?
Well,
pretty
good. It's because we got a rental car, and, you know, rent-a-car stereos are not very good.
Yeah.
But it sounded really great coming off of the K-Rock compressors.
Yeah.
It
sounded great in here, but the band was explaining about compression. And
well,
how
you
that
got
changes.
These are killer studio speakers in here.
Right.
You know, 99% of the people who hear that song are going to be listening on those crappy car stereos. So the goal when you're making a record is to make it sound great on the crappiest speakers you can find.
Right.
And if it sounds good on those, it's going to sound great in here.
Interesting.
So when stuff gets put out over the air, it gets compressed?
Yeah, they add top and bottom and compress it.
Is it different for different radio stations?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Most of the radio stations, if they're not a class act like K-Rock, they have some schmo who doesn't even know how to set the compressors to make it sound good.
Wow. Sorry, we're really sorry.
Yeah. Wow.
That's just a professional name. It's a schmo.
That's what you call the guy who adjusts your compressor.
Key grip.
S-M-O.
Oh, I see. I thought it was a derogatory.
Wait, do that again.
No, it's not derogatory. No, this is
schmo. The schmo's off.
I heard that.
No, talking.
Yeah,
the schmo.
He's in there working.
The schmo's a very desirable. It's a very desirable job position.
Ethan, we're going to talk to Ethan.
When we get back.
Oh, we're going to come back?
Yeah.
All right, everyone. I'm going to talk to Schmo
when we get out of here.
We'll beat the Schmo after this.
Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute. KFMA brings you a free show with Lit.
Sunday, December 9th.
Lit, live, free. So you can save your money to spend on more important things, like a mistletoe belt buckle.
A nice one for Christmas, please.
You can only get your tickets from KFMA, so keep listening as much as you can for as long as you can.
We know it's very painful, but we appreciate the support.
Lit, live and free. Tobacco Freeways and Tucson's new rock.
KFMA. You've been to the bars and clubs around the university. Everyone there is having a blast. Even the staff is having a great time while they work. Why not join the bartenders around Tucson and have a great time while you work? ABC Bartending can help you meet people, have fun, and make money. Call ABC Bartending Schools at 1-888-COCKTAIL. The ABC Bartending Schools have locations from coast to coast. Owner Tony Sylvester has been training and placing bartenders nationwide since 1977. ABC Bartending School is the largest bartending school system in the nation. So just remember that simple number, 1-888-COCKTAIL. That's 1-888-COCKTAIL. Or look them up on the web at abcbartending.com. Learn from the best and let ABC Bartending School's placement department get you started on your new career today. 1-888-COCKTAIL. 1-888-202-5824. ABC Bartending School is located in Tucson at Grant and First Avenue.
Hey, we got a problem, boss. Everyone wants a Buzzcape car amplifier for Christmas, but everybody wants $40 or $50 to install it.
Just order everything from the home of the $1 install. We'll save so much money. I might even take Mrs. Claus to Hawaii. Aloha.
You can save big bucks, too, when you shop your home with the $1 install. Not only do we install it for $1 before or after Christmas, every installation is guaranteed for life. So why pay more? Need some Pioneer Premier, Kenwood, or Boston Acoustic speakers? You got them. We also have the biggest selection of Rockford Fosgate AM, Alpine, or Kenwood CD players, and Viper alarms, too. Plus, you can shop with confidence, because we always have the best install price in town. Come see why no one calls more name brand car stereos and send alarms for $1 than $2. 4501 East Broadway, two blocks west of Swan, 5404 along Northeast Water, Oracle, and River Road.
Audio Express.
Here are ads in this week's Tucson Weekly.
Audio Express.
Your home of the $1 installation.
Sure, I'd like to play football, but I'd also like to be a doctor or a chemist.
Horn.
The more mathematics we know, the more opportunities we have.
Make special effects or invent video games.
We use math every day. It's in our lives. It's everywhere.
Or be a pilot.
Do math, and you can do anything.
Or be a teacher.
This message brought to you by the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics and this station.
Nobody gets measles anymore, right? Well, there was an epidemic of measles that ended just in 1991. More than 120 people died, many of them children. If they'd been immunized, they might have lived. One in four babies has not had all his shots. Your child could get a deadly disease. Immunize your babies before age two. You gave them life. Protect it.
In Arizona, call 1-800-232-2522. A message from the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. It happens without warning. It strikes individuals and families with equal cruelty.
Oh, my God. John?
Your energy bill is coming.
Can you hear me?
Please, be prepared when energy prices go up.
Wake up.
Visit the Alliance to Save Energy website to order your free PowerSmart booklet.
Can you hear my voice?
It contains simple, painless ideas to lower your energy bill.
John?
Visit ASE.org before it's too late.
Wake up.
Now, back to Love Line with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla. 92.1 KFMA.
Hey, y'all, Love Line. I'm Adam. That is Drew. Bad Religion in the studio tonight.
In the house.
In the hizzy.
Over here.
311 in here tomorrow night. And
where the Schmo needs to
fix them.
Get the microphone.
Schmo.
Check the Schmo.
We will get back to the phones and speak to Alex, who has a question for Bad Religion. Alex?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Alex.
Thanks for waiting, Alex.
Oh, no problem. I'm really excited to talk to you guys. You're one of my favorite bands of all time, I'd have to say.
Well, we're excited to talk to you.
Thank you.
First question, were you guys influenced at all by Frank Zappa? Because I noticed that since Bobby Schayer left the band, is it Brooks Wackerman?
Yep.
Chad Wackerman's little brother.
Yeah, very good. Very observant.
Well, I read that on your guys' website.
Oh, okay. Well, that's still observant.
Well, yeah, my brother's actually a drummer. We're both.
So what's the question?
You know, Brooks is a great drummer from a great family of drummers, and
he asked if we're influenced by Zappa.
No. All right. Not really in Bad Religion, although I really love Frank Zappa. I wouldn't say that he served as an influence in our music.
Oh yeah.
Do you think Ethan Bearden have a pretty profound impact on the band?
Not much.
No?
Okay.
No,
a little bit.
Whatever.
I was really hoping
that. Justin?
Can we get the Schmo in here to work on
Jay's
microphone?
I need a Schmo. Hello.
Jay's microphone isn't distorted.
Hello.
Alex?
Better, yeah. Better.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I was wondering, okay, like songs like on Leave Mine to Me and I think on The Promised Land, you guys kind of use this kind of like relativistic kind of, I don't know, language. And I was wondering if you guys really buy into that sort of.
Well, what's a relativistic? He means cultural relativism, I assume.
Yeah.
I am not a cultural relativist at all. I believe there's a single truth to the way things happened and a single truth to the way things are, and it's science's job to try and figure out the truth.
What is cultural relativism?
This is not helping the ratings at all.
It's what you talk about when it's okay for one culture, we're not giant.
Oh, I was just yelling about that last night.
Right.
I think some things are wrong and some things are right.
And
the Taliban beating women is wrong, regardless of your culture. And doing things to kids, you know, incest is wrong, and no matter what part of the world you're from.
Well, and we can go even a step farther and say that some cultures might think that the moon is made out of cheese. It's like cultural relativists would say, that's cool, man, that's their way of seeing it.
Right.
Well, the moon ain't made out of cheese, and that culture is wrong.
They can go ahead and believe it, they're free to believe it, but they're wrong.
But they're wrong.
So, Alex, is that what you meant?
Yeah, it is. So I was wondering, so what are you trying to get at with the song Leave Mine to Me?
Exactly what you're doing right now means don't do it, leave mine to me.
right? You're asking him a question about a song where he's saying, don't worry about what I do, you worry about what you do.
Well, but also, here's an important distinction that you have to remember. In music and art, there's only one real truth, and it's not that important. The only one truth is what came from the mind of the creator of the piece of music or art. And that truth isn't that relevant when it comes to a fan or a listener's interpretation of it. So leave mine to me just means leave my interpretation to me.
Okay.
All right. All right. Have fun with your head.
Okay.
Gonna explode. Hey, Jake?
Yeah.
You're 13?
Yeah, man. There's this girl right there in the summer.
Right.
We would make out or whatever, right? Because we worked at the same after school program.
Right, I know.
So I'm pretty sure she liked me, you know, because we made out or whatever.
Was she one of the kids from the after school program?
No.
Co-worker.
Teacher liked me.
I see.
It will sound like teachers like CIT because I'm only 13.
Right.
But, yeah.
CIT counselor in training, is that the name?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Right, not a schmo.
What? Awesome.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so now it's like during the, you know, school year, and I called her because she gave me her number or whatever, and she, like, didn't stay on the phone long, and she was just like, it'd be better if she called me, you know.
Right.
She hasn't called me. It's been like a month. I don't know what to do.
She's scared of the feelings she has for you.
Forget her.
Too powerful.
Forget her.
I don't know, man.
Move on.
That's it.
Move on.
Jake?
Think so, man.
Oh, yeah. You have to. You have no choice.
Some you'll get good at as you get older.
Yeah.
This important skill, you might as well learn it now.
Summer fling, you know, like in Greece.
Don't mean a thing.
You smoking a lot of weed, Jake?
Not yet. I'm waiting until the end of eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
Smart.
Wow.
That's when you make that transition and your grades stay good. Yeah.
If you can make a good decision like that, then you can take Drew and Adam's advice, I think, and move on.
Yeah. Waiting until the end of the eighth grade.
Yeah, because all my friends do whatever, but...
Well, why don't you wait till the end of the ninth grade, because that's when you shift schools, isn't it? That's when you go to high school?
Yeah, right. And actually there's some evidence that you should really wait till 11th grade, because before that, even relatively small amounts of pot can be shown to possibly hurt people. It affects your development anyway.
All right, so you really start, now can you eat brownies until 16. Then, or no more than 16? 16. 16. End of the 10th grade for brownies?
Well, I can eat wheat cookies.
No, you're not supposed to eat the cookies.
Oh, cookies.
That's got sugar in it. You don't want any part of that.
That's right. All right?
All right, man. Hey, also, I do a little music thing. I was wondering if I could play you guys some.
What do you do?
I kind of do rap, and I know that's not a big thing.
Yeah, give us a little rap.
We like rap.
We'd like to hear rap.
It's just an instrumental, but I think y'all like it.
Oh, no. No instrumental raps.
Yes.
That's not
I didn't know there was such a thing.
How can you do that?
That's silent.
Yeah, all right.
Go ahead. You ready?
All right, man. Hey, just let me go get the CD,
all right? All right. I'm going to put you on hold. Listen, if you're going to ramp, you got to ramp. You can't play the spoons.
You got to get a CD.
He's got to give us some freestyle right now.
Yeah. Right. You know what I miss? I miss guys playing novelty items like the saw, the spoons, the jug. You know, remember a guy every once in a while would pop up on some late night show and he'd have a saw that he'd be playing Melancholy Baby on? What happened to that art form?
But do you really miss it?
Well, there's a reason that it's gone. there's a reason that those things didn't persist.
Quite frankly, I think what happened is with the advent of power tools, a lot of people just got away from the old handsaws.
Yeah,
they're not laying around anymore.
Kids didn't have access to that.
That's right.
It's all Nintendo and 18-volt Makitas now. And
plus, all the saws are really short, those toolbox saws, and they're not good for music.
Right. They're those
short
little banjo ones.
That's the one.
Well, you know a lot about saws?
I'm a lumberjack.
Right? All right. We're going to talk during the break. Matthew?
Hello.
You're 23? What's up?
Question for Bad Religion?
Here they are.
Shoot.
Hello, I got your new album. I was at the Epitaph store.
Wunderbar.
Monday with the Noise Conspiracy, so it's really good.
The Epitaph what?
Thanks.
Store?
The Epitaph, you know, headquarters on Sunset.
Oh, do you mean our office?
Yes.
Okay. The store.
And you just happened to pick up a new record?
Well, Inge from the Noise Conspiracy picked one up, so he told me it was out. So
awesome. It's not out actually till January 22nd.
Oh, well, he told me the warehouse had some, so I got one. It's really good.
What you're saying is you pilfered one from my office.
Stole one.
That's okay.
From the librarian, I swear.
All right. Dude, Adam, he wiped it.
From the librarian of my store. But listen in good health.
I'd like to hear both Brett and Greg's different opinions and experiences about Fat Religion's move from Epitaph to the major and back to Epitaph again, and just about political punk bands in general being on major labels. I know Brett wasn't in the band during the major label years.
Yes, I was.
He gave you guys a lot of flack for the move, so I was just curious about your different...
Well, actually, Brett was with us when we recorded our first major label record called Stranger Than Fiction. That was one of our most successful ones.
Right.
If you want to hear both our takes, I'll just tell them who you want.
Oh, okay. This is Greg speaking.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you something about Brett.
Okay, yeah, just your advice to other big political punk bands regarding major labels.
I actually have an interesting story because it's so boring. Because most people want to hear when you go to a major label that there was this big, mean guy standing over you, forcing you to write hit songs. But actually, you know, there was very little of that at all, and there was no creative... interference at all, but the worst thing about it was that Brett was not with me. So
yeah, this is Brett speaking, and you know, as you know, or as you may know, I own Epitaph, and you're not going to hear any major label bashing from me. I think the whole issue is overblown.
Well, it seems to me that they're not evil just because they're big. They're evil if they try to water down your product or influence you in a negative way. But if that is not going on as much as people would like to believe it is...
Yeah, Britney Spears is on an independent label. I mean, not too many people know that, but Zomba is the biggest independent in the world. And you know, Radiohead Kid A came out on a major label, and it was one of the most creative and innovative records of last year, so...
Yeah, it was not our experience.
And the Clash were on Epic, so that eliminates all of that.
Yeah, but it's a typical way we think. What would be in it for them to squash some creativity?
I think big is bad to a lot of people, especially if they're fans of the punk scene.
And it's Jack.
And this is Mike, and we're from TSOL.
Oh, well, I thought Jack was on the phone.
Hey, yeah, and we want to ask a...
I'm giving a shout-out to Jack and Mike from TSOL right now.
All right, Matthew.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Big is not always bad. Let's talk to Bobby, who's 19. Bobby?
Hi.
What's up?
I actually had two questions for you.
All right.
All right, one was, how does pot affect your sperm count?
Can drop it. It lowers your testosterone level, raises the estrogen level. It can drop.
It could?
Yeah. Oh, it won't make you infertile. But
as a 19-year-old, you'll still be able to do damage.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry.
Yes, you can certainly cause a pregnancy.
Okay. Also, my other question was...
It's not a contraceptive.
Right. Oh, if you wear the bong over your penis, like I've done on numerous occasions.
You were using it as a penis enlarger.
Hey, you got to keep your thumb over the card, though, because it will come out.
I thought that was a penis pump. Was that a bong?
Hey, I've said many times, they ought to combine those two things. First off, it's the same audience. You know what I mean? Same consumer, they're pretty much.
Interesting, yeah.
Same guys who are spending money at the head shop for the bong or spending for the penis enlarger.
Both
number
work
two,
on a vacuum principle.
How many?
There,
a couple of components, just a carb adapter.
It's like a Swiss Army knife.
All you need is one of those blood pressure pumps and a little carb adapter, just a little air fitting that you could snap on like they have for compressed air fittings, and pump, and
I think
put
we're
it in there.
Something here.
So I don't know who'd want to use it next.
Right, so is that a pubic hair on my bong?
But I think we could sell them on the Home Shopping Network. I'm pretty sure we could. It's a big item.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Okay, what's the second question?
Bong penis pump.
Oh, yeah, when your mom said, is this a bong, you didn't get indignant and go, how dare you? This is a penis pump.
This is private, Mom.
This is guaranteed to add 3 inches.
That's my question.
Back.
Other question?
Oh, okay, the other question was, I watch a lot of porno, and I was wondering, because I maybe masturbate 3 or 4 times a day, how does that also affect my sperm count?
Well, you let a lot of them loose, right?
Yeah, it could be lowering it a little bit. Well, why are you worried about your sperm count? Yeah.
No, I'm just...
Do you even know what you're asking? I mean, why is that an issue to you, Bobby?
Because, I don't know, I just don't want it to go bad after a while.
No, it's not going to go bad.
It won't go bad. Even when you're an old man, you'll still have a sperm count.
Yeah, it doesn't run out. It doesn't go stale, and it doesn't go sour. It just keeps going. And
hold on. It can't go sour.
And besides which, we've just recently cloned the first human, so men are obsolete.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Right. Society is not lucky enough for your sperm to go bad, Bobby. Yeah. You will impregnate many a woman on numerous occasions.
That's actually my plan.
Good. That's right.
Come forth, my son, and multiply.
A lot of Bobbies running around.
With multiple Bobbies.
A lot of nice guys, hopefully.
There you go.
Okay, there, Bobby.
I also had to say one more thing before I hang up.
Right.
How come you guys don't play System of a Down anymore?
What do you mean?
They play it all the time. What are you
talking
about?
Yeah, you guys play it all. No, we guys don't play it all the time when it starts. When the actual show starts.
Yeah, playing right now.
I don't know. I think we play System of a Down quite a bit.
I heard him today on K-Rock.
It's playing right now.
I would appreciate it if you can play it at the end when you guys...
There you go.
Whatever.
All right.
But Adam sings to it every night.
Will that adversely affect his sperm?
Yes.
Okay. Let's take ourselves a little break. Bad Religion is here. One of the only bands that's actually good for your sperm. And we'll take a break.
Can we get the Schmo in here?
And we'll be back after this.
You don't have low self-esteem. You got no self-esteem. Need to feel better about yourself? You'll be checking out an online clearinghouse for losers. Losers.org. Your shot at free lift tickets every hour. We'll also drop signs on today in history. Hail to the G'd up and dumbass of the day. Thursday, John and Frank.
KFMA.
John and Frank.
Weekday mornings on KFMA.
It's time to play Are You a Moron? The game show where you get it right or pay the price. Brought to you by Trident, Tucson's newest restaurant and bar. Say hello to our contestant, Billy Bob.
Hello.
Here's the rules. I'll ask you a question, get it right, and you win money. But get it wrong, and we'll zap you with our electric grid you're standing on.
Holy f***.
Okay, Billy Boy, for your first question, what's the newest Tucson hotspot? A place where eclectic eats, great selection on brews, and a laid-back atmosphere. You've got to be quicker than that. Answer what's tried at home of steaks, seafood, burgers, you name it. Okay, one more. What bar and speedway has a selection of 24 different beers and is a place where you could hang out with your family or your friends?
What was that you said? Wrigley?
Oh, you moron. Wrigley is a gum, not a hot spot. The answer was again, Trident. And we're out of time, but that's good. Because now I can take everyone in the studio audience to Trident for a beer and some great food. We're off to Trident on Speedway, east of Campbell.
Can I go too?
No.
Rita, I don't have a clue.
Christmas shopping, huh?
Yeah.
Two questions.
Uh-huh.
Does she have diamond earrings?
I don't think so.
Problem solved.
Oh, she'd love diamond earrings, sure, but I'm not sure I can afford diamonds as big as she's got in mind.
Bruce, you know our diamond guarantee. Give her the best. Give her Marshall's diamond earrings this Christmas. Plus, you're going to love this. If you ever want to trade up to a bigger pair, we'll give you 100% credit in trade at any time in the future. You simply pay the difference.
Well, let's take a look.
See? Price is starting at just $250, so everyone can move up to Marshall's diamond quality. Hmm. And nobody has better selection of fine diamond earrings, Bruce. How about this pair?
Mm-hmm.
They're over 1 carat in total weight and set in platinum.
Absolutely gorgeous, Rita. You just took me from zero to hero in 60 seconds.
At Marshall's, we can make diamonds a part of your life.
Cassis Sedobis at Oracle and Ina, and Crossroads Festival at Grand and Swan.
I didn't know what I was going to do after the mines had shut down. Currently, I'm working at Bombardier Aerospace, and it's through a program by Pima that helped me obtain this job.
Andy Benavidez needed a new direction, and Pima Community College helped him find it.
What we learned at Pima was exactly what Bombardier was looking for. An interior startup program, which was 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. It lasted 4 months, but at the end, it was all worth it. We had people that were 18 to 55 years of age. We had men and women. There's a night class and a day class. So what I do is I build the interior of the aircraft. I make an airplane out of a shell. The difference that Pima College has made in my life is employment.
Accelerated programs for direct employment, flexible schedules, financial aid, everything you need to get you where you want to go. Call 206-4500 and we'll help you get started.
Thanks, Pima.
FEMA Community College. You can get there from here. We're registering for spring classes right now.
Nobody gets measles anymore, right? Well, there was an epidemic of measles that ended just in 1991. More than 120 people died, many of them children. If they'd been immunized, they might have lived. One in four babies has not had all his shots. Your child could get a deadly disease. Immunize your babies before age two. You gave them life. Protect it.
In Arizona, call 1-800-232-2522. A message from the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back to Love Line with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla. 92.1. KFMA.
Hey, I'm Clyde Barker, and you're listening to Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on Love Line.
Adam Carolla. English never get tired of putting the R where the A needs to be and never get tired of taking the R and putting the A there.
Remember he was supposed to send me those books on book writing or something, some pamphlets?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Clive Baca.
Baca? Adam Carolla?
Yeah.
Never got it.
Well, screw him.
Dude,
Z is a world class.
No,
yeah.
No, he's not. I
yeah.
think he just
That's
forgot.
That's what you're saying.
He just forgot.
Bad religion.
All the stuff we forget to people.
Hey, dickweed.
All right. Bad Religion is here tonight, and the new CD is out on January 22nd. We will pop back to the phones and speak to Jessica, who's 18. Jessica? Oh, turn that radio down, Jessica.
I have it all. Hi.
Hey.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
What's up?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You know what? We're talking about a penis bong right here, right now.
What?
Hello?
Yeah.
All right, go.
Okay, every time I have sex with my boyfriend, like, I have to watch The Man Show in order to get an orgy.
Why? An orgy? In order to get an orgy?
Yeah,
well, that's the only way you can get one, I've heard.
An orgy?
In the TV guide, apparently, that's the only way you can get it.
Get orgies. Yeah.
Do you mean orgasm?
Orgasm, I'm sorry. I'm a little out today.
Yeah, a little.
Today.
All right.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. Was it
Jimmy or Adam?
Adam.
Yeah. Is it my matinee idol good looks or my cutting wit?
It's your wit and your good looks.
Oh, man. You know all the right things to say.
So yeah, I have, like, when I'm having sex with him,
right.
I picture Adam's face.
Where? I'm not going down on you, am I? Because that's a policy.
No, I don't like that.
Okay. Oh, good. Good. Oh, we could really get along.
I didn't know you were a Jamaican.
No, I'm not Jamaican.
No,
you're Adamus.
No.
Oh.
But Adam understood what I meant.
Right. Yeah. No, I did. I've told this theory about black guys not liking to go down. I had a guy on the football team told me he would not eat anything that got up and walked away when he was done, and I took that to heart.
No, but no, black men will, but Jamaican.
Oh, really?
Well, no.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Cultural
relativism.
Jamaicans have a lot of stuff they think about homosexuality too. You ever talked to them about that?
Yeah.
They get very. I mean, no way, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Jessica.
Yeah.
I'm flattered.
Right.
And, you know, Sunday nights, 10 o'clock, Comedy Central, that's where you'll find your orgasm.
Yeah.
All right, baby.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Go ahead. I want to tell Bad Religion they're pretty dope.
Pretty dope?
Thank you very much.
Word up.
Word really up there, Jessica.
Oh, Adam.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Wonder you smoke some blunts.
When?
Yeah.
I don't know, probably this weekend.
All right.
Good times. Good times.
Yeah.
This Acoustic Christmas is coming up, and once in a while you do make the mistake of getting stoned at that thing, and then I run into General Manager Trip Reeve and start getting weird, you know. It's not good. Best to wait until the evening wears on when everyone gets loaded, and they don't rush to judgment as quickly.
Why don't you get a costume and no one will know it's you?
That's like what? What should I go as? Like
the Grinch.
And, it does have a Christmas theme. Drew, we should do that.
Go as the Grinch?
Yeah, you go as like Mrs. Claus and I'll go as the
Grinch. I'll go as Wendy Lou Who.
Sarah?
I like that.
Sarah? Yeah.
Hi.
What's up?
First I want to say hi to everybody who's there.
Hi.
Hello.
Actually, this question was for Dr. Drew.
Yeah?
I wanted to know if I have sex with two different people and one's bigger than the other one. Is my vagina going to stretch?
Let me see if what you're asking is, if you have sex, would one guy be able to tell?
Yeah.
If you're having sex with another guy.
Well, the big guy's not going to be able to tell.
No, there's no way.
The little guy's going to be like humping the Liberty Bell.
We're talking about a hot dog in a hallway here.
Yeah.
That part of your body was designed to stretch and recoil. Okay.
But not like one right after another.
Is the one guy tagging out and the next guy stepping in, or is it later that day?
They don't know.
Yeah.
They're not aware of each other. Okay. What about your mouth? Same question, but about your mouth for oral sex. Does that come back through?
That's a problem.
That stinks. You spread out, you look like a bass.
Can I wager a guess? Is this because of the smaller of the two is actually your boyfriend?
Yes.
And so the
good
big time. Guy is...
He's
so
the big guy.
You're doing it on the sly, and you don't want your boyfriend to know.
Why don't you break up with your boyfriend and stop worrying about this?
Sounds like the small dog's on the way out.
I've been with him for a long time.
I know. That's all the more reason to break up.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just over his... You're done.
Wait, is it just over his penis size? Or his...
No.
She's just done.
It's part of the tension.
Yeah.
You're done.
Oh, okay. So,
right.
He's not giving you what you need, and it doesn't have anything to do with this thing.
Yeah, we tell a lot of people your age is that these relationships drag on forever because you don't know when and how to end them. And when you're 28, you would end a relationship like this in 3 weeks.
How long have you been with Johnny Smolder?
For like 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
It's over.
Is it really small? How small is it?
Oh, it's not that small, but...
Well, you can tell the truth. He doesn't know you're on the radio.
No, he doesn't.
Smaller. Well, he's killed himself by now. So either way, right?
I don't know. I never measured him.
I see. No. Okay.
Wait, if he was okay in every other department, then the penis size probably wouldn't matter, right?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, he knows how to, like, you know.
No, this guy shows you more attention, the new guy, right?
He's, like, more flirtatious. More
yeah, he's more attentive.
More
you see, this is not fair. You know, this is like... It's like if you worked at a job for 5 years and they hired a new guy and your boss called you in and said, you're fired. This new guy,
he's
all smiles. Yeah. He's just,
got a bigger dick.
He's got a big dick. No, of course. A new broom sweeps clean. I mean...
For a while.
Yeah. And then, because you're enthusiastic at the beginning.
No, but
you're
can't
a great
do it.
Guy. And,
no, you can't do that. You've got to either break it off. You can't lie to a guy and cheat on him. No, you cannot.
No, and you think you're doing him a favor by not breaking up with
him.
No.
It's not a favor, especially after that long. That's not...
Right.
That's not even...
Right. Oh, yeah. And then don't tell him about this guy and the penis disparity.
Just be nice and say, you know what, it's time for us to move on.
Right. Yeah, you know, anything that makes you go around telling lies all the time isn't going to make you feel good about yourself either.
It does. It does tend to wear on you. Robert?
Yes.
You're 18?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
This call is primarily for Bad Religion. You guys are my favorite band in the whole world, and I got into you guys when I was like a freshman, and ever since then I just inspired to, you know, take a look at the world around me and not take it for face value, and just, you know, now thanks to you guys my eyes are wide open, so thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
And Greg and Brett, I think you guys are pretty much two of the best songwriters there ever were.
Thanks.
And Brett, congratulations on all the Epitaph success.
Thanks.
It takes a lot to work your ass off and have a great company like you got. And I was wondering if I'm going to see you guys on Saturday night, and I was wondering if you guys play the Fertile Crescent.
Probably not. We're actually rehearsing this week, and we're going to be playing a couple of these newer songs, and they're taking a lot of our effort to
That's
get
great.
The arrangements down.
Yeah, I got the new album right too, like the other guy said, and it's excellent. It's amazing.
They're just pilfering your warehouse. I got it. You got a leak.
You went
somewhere.
To Epitaph also?
No, I didn't. It was a chance encounter at McDonald's.
Yeah, there's a leak somewhere.
It's a long story and it's too long to get into, but it's.
We want names.
Huh?
We want names.
I don't even know.
Grimace. We just went by Grimace.
You know, thanks a lot for your support. It's great to have great fans.
Okay. Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Thanks, Robert. I will say that Bad Religion definitely has some of the smartest, most appreciative fans we've heard on this show. I mean, you know, we do talk to a lot of people who call in, and they don't seem to articulate themselves quite as well as the Bad Religion.
You go ahead and say it. Our fans are kind of nerdy, aren't they?
Yeah, they're nerdy. Yeah. We like that.
If nerdy means smart, dedicated, and into Jesus Christ, then and nerdy. Nerdy.
Can we get the schmo to adjust Adam's mic in?
Calling all nerds. Jeff?
Hello.
You're 24.
I am 24. I am a super fan. I like to call myself a Bad Religion. I'm so overwhelmed. I tried to tell you screaming how messed up I am right now. I got a million questions, but I am reading a book right now called Parental Advisory by Eric Nussbaum, and he mentions Bad Religion twice, but he's not very specific. And my question is, has the band ever been a subject of any kind of censorship, whether it be on an album or on a concert bill?
You know, that question comes up a lot, and we are actually, we've enjoyed very little of that in our entire history, but it's interesting you point out that book, because I'd like to see what the man has to say about us, especially one titled Parental Advisory.
Yeah, well, also on Jello Biafra's last spoken word album, he mentions you guys, too. He says something to the effect of, eat your heart out, Bad Religion, and I couldn't make any sense of it.
Well, we're friends, so I'm sure it was nothing too derogatory.
Well, oh, no, I didn't think that. Also, Greg, when are you going to do another American Legion album?
Nothing in the works this year because we're busy with the Bad Religion project. This will take us all through next year.
Hey, Jeff?
Yes?
We're out of time, but why don't you give us the name of that book?
The name of the book?
One more time so the guys can go get it and then sue somebody.
Parental Advisory, Music Censorship in America. It was published last year by a guy named Eric Nussbaum, N-U-Z-U-M.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thanks. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Bad Religion to wrap up after this.
Okay, so I know there's nothing wrong with me, so what's up?
Sounds like you and I used to think that these date lines were totally cheesy.
Why can't I meet anybody?
But I tried everything else and thought, what the hell? So I called the date line and actually met a cool guy.
I called the date line and I hooked up with some cool people.
Believe it or not, other normal people are out there looking too.
877-889-DATE.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back. 92.1 KFMA.
Love Line on KFMA.
I was walking back and forth through the studio in the hall here. Out in the hall, they were arguing creationism versus evolution. And here, you guys talking about building garages.
Nice.
That's okay.
Diversity.
Well, we all get along.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell Jay about the random orbital sander.
I'm going to go get one tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Again, with the random orbital sander. Come on.
I enjoy it.
No kidding.
And, it's easy on the groin, too. The winters are long up there in Canada.
What? Everything ends up there.
That's right.
Everything.
When we see you guys at the show, I'll tell you how it is.
All right. Bad Religion, everybody. See you guys Saturday night.
Thank you very much.
Belief is the name of the CD, out the 22nd, although people are seeming to find them before that date. So until next time, this is Adam Cole for Dr. Drew saying mahala.
Oh, Adam.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
When are you going to smoke some blunts?
When?
Yeah.
I don't know, probably this weekend.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment. 92.1